But there is eternity. That gnawing, inconvenient truth that within the sound of my voice there are people who are going to die and go to heaven. And within the sound of my voice this morning, some of you, by God's decree, will be cast into hell. Sort of has a way of putting a damper on things. And yet, this is one of the great warnings of Christianity and a truth that causes us great problems in the secular world. That there is a God, and He has made Himself known, and He is moral, and He is righteous, and He is holy, and He will judge every one of you for every deed, every word, and every thought you have ever committed. Before Him, you must and you will stand. Do you know Him? More importantly, does He know you? For many will come to Him on that day and say, "Lord, Lord," and He shall say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now let's look at our text. Then I saw a great white throne. Now we obviously are not going to get through this text, but we'll try. Then. Now why is He saying then? Well, actually, in the Greek, He's saying and. And He's linking it back up with what precedes it in the text. You see, in order to bring the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth into existence, God must first rid creation of evil. No evil can dwell in that place where His Son rules and reigns, wherein there is nothing but righteousness. Evil must be done away with first. And in verses 7 through 10, we see that He does away with Satan. Once and for all, he is to be done away with. He must be purged from creation so that the new heaven and the new earth might exist. And you think, wonderful, now let it begin. No. Evil still has not been purged. You see, after He purges away from creation, from the universe, that ancient serpent, that ancient dragon called the devil, He then turns His attention to mankind, and He must expel wicked men. This is terrifying. All the nations will stand. He does not change. He says He's the I Am because He's incomparable. If you ask me who I am, I can say, well, I am like this gentleman here, or I am like this man over on this side. But if you ask God, who are you? He cannot say, I am like him or her. He's like no one. Again, apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. And apart from Him, there is absolutely nothing. It is a white throne. Now I want us to look at something. I don't know if we'll get through this part, but I want us to look at something very important. We've talked about some of the things about the throne. But notice for a moment what is not there. When we look in chapter 4, we find a throne. And it has many descriptions. Many beautiful things. But when we come to the throne now in chapter 20, there are many things that are not there. They were there in chapter 4, but they're not there during the judgment. First of all, when we get to the judgment throne, nothing is said of the appearance of God. Nothing. He's not described. We go to chapter 4. Even though it's very limited, there's something of a description of the glory of God. But here there's no mention of it. Why? God is at this time revealing Himself to men through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is showing men who He is, that men might be saved. But one day, He will show Himself no more. It's over. You rejected and rejected and rejected the revelation of God. You didn't listen, you didn't listen, you didn't listen. You didn't investigate, you didn't investigate. The Word of God was nothing to you. You never opened it, you never studied it, you never desired to know who He is. Who is this God before whom I must stand? You neglected the Word, you neglected hearing the preaching. You just sat there and sat there, and you walked out of the church building not remembering anything you heard. All kinds of revelation. You have stores with Bibles and books and everything else, but all of it was neglected. But then you come to the judgment seat of Christ and you say, "Where is He that I may know Him?" He's gone. He's not gone, but He will not show Himself. You'll knock on the door and you'll say, "But you walked through our streets. You had bookstores. You had all sorts of things. You had churches. Open the door to me." No. It's gone. If you do not know Him here, you will not know Him there, except for His righteous wrath in hell. Notice that there's no rainbow here. In chapter 4, there's a rainbow. A rainbow representing the faithfulness of God, the covenants of God, the promises of God. Let me give you one. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." A promise screamed out through the airwaves, through pulpits, through even men at sporting events holding up signs that say John 3:16. Promise after promise. "He who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved and not disappointed." There was promise and promise and promise, but on the day of judgment there'll be no promise. All promises have been rejected. "I want to believe." Too late. "But surely there must be..." Nothing. We live in an age where a student in so-called academic settings can blow off the entire semester, cannot do anything, flunk every test, and then go to a teacher and say, "But there's some makeup work. There's something I can do." And in this day and age, usually there is. There, nothing. It's over. No makeup exam. No second chance. Nothing. Some of you may be saying, "I hate what that man is saying." Yes, I know. But it is in the Bible.